Okay, this is March 16th. Mind is all there is.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And Sandy just said, yes, the topic for the whole month of March is mind is all there is, which is the most important thing for us to remember. Because it is absolutely true, and the more you use this teaching, the more you live your life, the more you become aware and the more you observe, you will discover that it truly is a mental world that we live in. That everything that's coming into your life is coming into your life because of the way you are thinking. And once you realize that, you can change your reality. And you can start to have joy and all the tall ones. Joy. I'm glad you're not asleep this week.
Simon. I'm here this week, though.
Oh, good. So the more you realize that everything is done with your mind, that everything that comes into existence comes into your existence because of your mind, then you can truly change your life. And you can love your life and enjoy your life and be fulfilled and not think that it is some horrible experience that you're going through. Because you have, when you gain control over your thinking, when you can control your thoughts, you can control your life. So with that said, would you turn to the tall one there and say, there is nothing to do, only something to know.
Repeat that, please.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know. There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know.
There is nothing to do, only something to know. What does that mean? We as human beings are always going around doing things. We're always very busy, and we think that that is what life is all about. The more we can solve problems, the more we can run around and always being busy and doing and doing and doing. Which again brings you to that point where we're not human doings, we're human beings. And the idea is just to stop and be. But you have to know something. And what is it that you have to know? There is nothing to do, only something to know. You must know that we are gods. You must know that. You see, and we forget that all the time, don't we? Because we're not told that. And when I say that, know that ye are gods, how many people's minds here refute that right away or get very nervous? Yes. And the reason why your mind refutes that and you get very nervous is because you've been taught that that isn't so. And that would be arrogant of you to think that. The same way when I say all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is. People think, oh my God, isn't he arrogant to think those thoughts? Isn't that awful? Only the church can do that. Only the synagogue can do that. Only these institutions can say that. And oh, and God is somewhere else and yada, yada, yada. You see, the whole idea of God, the whole idea of God is man-made. Man-made God. The idea of God came from man. Now, when I say that, I do not want you to think there's no such thing as God. Because then, we transcend that. And we go beyond thoughts. And there is a God. You see. But different from what we were ever taught. God is always going to be beyond thoughts and words. You can't do that. But women, we needed something. So we came up with the idea of God. See, this thing that we talk about called God doesn't know that it is God. It just knows. You see, there's nothing to do, only something to know. God knows. What does God know? Or what would we assume instead of this idea, this old idea of God, we have to get a new idea, and we have to realize that God is intelligence, God is energy, God is life itself. And that that life, that intelligence, runs through us. It's the only thing there is. When we say all there is mind, that means all there is God, all there is one. And we are all part of that one. And we can use that then to bring things into our lives or to change ourselves the way we want to be. You see, you don't need the church to tell you how to think. That's inherent in you. That's intrinsic within you. If you would sit around long enough, you would realize how good you were. But usually you don't do that because somebody's telling you how bad you are. You see, so you start to accept that. And we have that critical part of our mind which loves to do that to us. This is the time when you must take control of your thinking and go back to the idea, ye are gods. Ye are gods. And then when you come to that conclusion that you are, then what does a God do? God creates. So therefore you're creating your life moment by moment, thought by thought. You see. But when I say those things, I never want you to think that there is no such thing as this thing called God. It's just bigger, vaster than we can assume or that we can imagine with our finite minds. And I say this often, the problem is we're always trying to bring the infinite down to the finite. And we must take the finite up to the infinite. We must learn to stretch our consciousness, to stretch our thinking, to use our imagination. And see for yourself, because God is going to be a feeling. God is going to be a knowing. And you know that. Sometimes you can't explain it. You don't have to explain God. Anytime you start to explain God, you're taking the finite and you're taking the infinite and making it finite. You see, when you start to describe anything, you've taken the infinite part of it away. You're saying, oh, this is what God is. Well, we don't know what God is. These are assumptions. But we can see different things, you see. We know that God is power. We know that God is invisible. We know all those things. We can't explain the wind. We can't see the wind. But we know it has power. So this is the way you must start to train your thinking and see God in a different way. But see God in you, or this power coming through you, not outside of you in any way. But use your mind. It's the gift that has been given. Everyone is looking for something more to be given. The gift has been given. You've heard that. If you went to any church in your life, somewhere along the line, even if you didn't, you heard that expression, the gift has been given. That means this wonderful mind you have been given, or your life itself. The gift has been given. But we keep waiting for more. This isn't enough. This isn't enough. So that idea again, there is nothing to do, only something to know. You must know that you are part of this whole thing. And then you will start to see it. You will start to see it. When you start to believe something, you start to see something. But if you think it's outside of you, or if you're using that old view of God, you're not going to get this. It's just impossible. Because they want to make authority figure out of everything. You have to become your own authority. You have to be able to think for yourself. You see. Remember, the whole idea of this teaching is learn to think the thought that you want to think. That means, what do you want to think about yourself? Do you want to know that you're good? Do you want to know that you're part of God? Do you want to know that you're intelligent? Do you want to know that you're clever? That you're handsome? That people like you? You have to make up your mind to those things. You have to do that for yourself. Don't wait around for anyone else to do that stuff for you. I know tons of people go to church all the time and they still don't think that they're any good. So what good does church serve them? You see? If something is not serving you, if it's not bringing joy into your life, if it's not bringing love into your life, if it is not building you up, if it's not telling you that you're magnificent, then leave it. But most people, instead of leave it, they put more money in the collection plate so they can hear it again next week, the same old stuff. Don't do that to yourselves. Learn to think. Learn to know that you're part of this whole thing. That it truly is a mental world that we live in. And there is such a thing called God. But we do not have to go down on our knees, and we do not have to turn everything into a religion. God is, God always will be. And that power, that intelligence, that energy is here for us to use. You cannot take that away. So you have to know that that's a given. You have to know that you can use that energy, that life, that power that we call God, to bring it into your life, to heal yourself. And when we use the word heal, that's not only physical, that's mental, that's spiritual, that's healing relationships. You see, this power can heal anything. Why can it heal anything? Because this power is love. You see? And love heals everything. Love will heal everything. So here again, it's using your mind so that you can start to do that. But you have to start with yourself. You have to love yourself. Up one side and down the other. So much that you're bursting with that. You see? Think of those things. And then think of the joy and so forth. We are not here to suffer in any way. We have been taught the wonderful lie that suffering makes people better or makes people stronger. You see? And that's an out and out lie. The only thing suffering does is bring hurt into your life. But do you think that if we call this thing God, love, or we say God is loving, that God wants to hurt you in any way, torture you in any way, keep anything from you? The only thing that's ever keeping anything from you is your own mind. You are saying to yourself, I do not deserve it. I am not worthy, deserving, totally level one. I don't matter, so it doesn't matter if I get this, that, or the other thing, because really I don't deserve it. I'm not that type of person. So you have to control your mind. You have to control your thinking. So let's do a little. Oh, and before I do that, though, we're going to do the garden. So I think this is very interesting. Rod just told me that he cannot find that book. Tell him that quickly, that story about my little book.
I looked it up on Amazon, and I did a search by the title, and there was another book called that, but it wasn't the same. And I couldn't find it by the ISBN number either, so I don't know what.
See, I always think that stuff is absolutely amazing because that was the last book that that store had, and I got it. You see?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's always amazing. Things come into my life, people, you know, and then no one else can find those things. Now, you know it has to exist someplace. But it just is amazing to me that things come into my life. And it came into my life, you know, half price.
Always better.
Which, yeah, see, that's that happens to be prosperity and abundance, including money. It came into my life half price. And now, you know, but you'll eventually find it. But I always think those things are amazing that I can find something or something, because I don't go into that shop. You know, who goes into it's called Potted, and it's in Atwater Village. And it's a plant shop. Who expects to go into a plant shop? And that was only my second time in there, and find a book that has something to do with the mind. You see? These things amaze me. Absolutely amazing. All right. Before we also do this other thing, I have been meaning to have Andy explain something to you, but he keeps cutting out of here. So tonight he's here. And before I forget it, I want him to tell you about the mind and about how his mind had an aha experience. And with that, a little shift in thinking, in consciousness, and it cleared something up for him. With that, if you need hints on what that was, I will tell you.
Well, it's funny, because I had like several in a row, I'm trying to remember which one came first. The first one was... thank you. Okay. I don't remember the story anymore, but the breakthrough basically was that... It was in Abraham Hicks's book, Ask and Is Given. And one of the things that she said in there was, if you're not expecting it, you're not allowing it. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks, because like, I so often try to think of things I want, but I don't necessarily think of them in terms of expectation, expecting it. And so it sort of turned the whole paradigm on its side, and like, wow, yeah, that really helps. And once I started then expecting, you know, it just changes the whole dynamics of manifestation. And I did a little further research on it, and for those of you that are familiar with Abraham Hicks, they have what's called the emotional scale, and the higher your vibration, the more you're attracting things, you know, the highest being love and all that. And expectation is actually a little ways down the list. It's only about 5. So I mean, it's like, you know, expecting is something that's, I guess, easier to do. And if you can feel those higher vibrations of love, joy, and all that, you know, it's very powerful. And then after that, I think the next one was appreciation, and how strong appreciation is. It's like, it's appreciation. If you can appreciate something, it's like, so oftentimes we're trying to attract something that we don't have. And like, so there's this little catch-22 in your mind of like, well, I don't have it, you know, and well, I want to have it. How can I have it and not have it at the same time? And I was meditating on that, and I came up with the idea of appreciation. It's like, yeah, if you appreciate something, you can appreciate something, whether it's physically here now or coming to you. And I thought that was really good for me.
Do you remember this thing called God says, ask, and I will give it to you. But most people don't ask. You have to keep asking. Most people give up asking. When I was a child, I always thought my brother got everything. I still think that. No, I don't anymore. But he said to me, and it cleared it right up, and this is when I was a child. He said to me, Dallas, because see, I wouldn't ask. I would never ask my parents for anything. Never. He said, Dallas, if it's not worth asking for, it's not worth having. It's not worth asking for. It's not worth having. If you want something, ask. Ask for it. You see, remember the whole thing? Knock and the door will open. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. You have to ask for things. So Andy's aha experience with this thing of expecting and expectation. Most people have expectation, but they only have expectation for the wrong thing. If something bad happens, you'll often hear people say, well, I expected that. I expected that. But they never use the expectation in the other way. You see, this is a world of duplicity. This is a world of right and wrong. Always two poles are existing on this plane of action. So if you can expect the bad and get it, you have to be able to expect the good and get it. It's just the other side of the coin, you see. So you have to know that. So use your expectation for something that you want instead of for something that you don't want. See? So use that. And then also with the appreciation and with the gratitude. See, you're not going to get something if you don't appreciate it. Many people want wealth, they want luxury, but they don't appreciate it when other people have it. You must learn to appreciate everything. And certainly, learn to appreciate the things that you want to draw into your life. You see, they're not going to come if you don't appreciate them. And that's always that little catch with Andy has, well, I don't have it, so how can I appreciate it? You have to be grateful and appreciate it now as though you already have it, because everything is done in the moment. You see, you do have everything that you want. You just don't know it. See, nothing to do, only something to know. You must know that you have everything. And then you must start removing all the filters that you'll put in front of you. That's why you do not see it. The filters being your belief systems. You know, it's your beliefs, your viewpoints, your attitudes, and your opinions which are keeping you from having what you want. Change those. Say, that's the only thing you won't ever do. Why is that so? Because it's a mental world we live in, and we're only ever working with the mind. This is called science of the mind. Science of the mind. And yes, it's a God-oriented teaching, because God is mind. But everyone takes this and wants to turn it into a religion, and they want to come up with rituals, and they want to light candles and wear sandals and do all this hoorah.
Sandals. Wear sandals.
That is not what this is about. This teaching is about learning to control your thinking. Learning to think the thought that you want to think. God is a given. God is always going to be there. You can't get rid of God. You can't separate yourself from God. Why is that? Because there's only God, and you're some part of that. You're saying. So stop looking for God and start looking for yourself. You're saying. God's not lost. And here's an amazing thing, people. God doesn't need your help. No. And God doesn't need your worship. God's above that. But we need help and we need worship. So learn to help yourself and learn to worship your own self. You have to start to see the magnificence of yourself.
Wow.
You have to start to see that. Without being afraid, without the mind, a critical part of your mind saying, oh, I can't do that. That's blasphemy. I'll go directly to hell. Now, is there anyone here who still thinks that they're going to go to hell? Is there anyone here who even believes in this thing called hell? Good, because there's no such thing as hell. If you want a hell, that's in your thinking. You see, it's not a geographical location someplace that you're going to go to. And there's no such thing as the devil. There cannot be two powers, remember. This is the teaching of unity, meaning one. Meaning one. You see, this teaching does not threaten you with, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, the devil's going to get you. You see. And if you do this, is God going to get you? God already has you. God already has you. Now surrender into that idea. Surrender into that idea that God already has you. That you are the beloved in whom it is well pleased. You have to know that you are the beloved. God is so thrilled with you. Absolutely thrilled with you. How do you think God enjoys this life without you? Because it's God working in as and through you. This is how God comes to the earth. This is how God enjoys life. through you. This is how God enjoys its life, through you. These are the things that you have to know about yourself. You see? It's all done with the mind. It's done with imagination, and I talk about imagination constantly. And then we go out and we forget it all the time to use it. So you have to think, what kind of a world do I want to live in? And start to imagine the world you want to live in. And you will do it.
It's funny that you're saying that, talking about controlling the mind and imagining the world you want to live in. In last week's lesson, you were talking about projecting yourself on the movie screen and seeing your life. And if you don't like the way the script is working out, then change it. And that came so strong to me. And I already knew what was going to happen in the end. And I didn't like it. So last Monday after class, I put down my cigarettes. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I'm happy about it, and I've never felt better. And then he wasn't even here, and we talked about it, and he put his down too.
Yes.
So life is good. Yeah. And I think it's gonna, and it's all up here. It really is. It's amazing.
Life is good, and don't think no.
Nope.
Thinking won't get you very far, but knowing will.
Yep.
The reason why you can put down your cigarettes or put down any addiction that you have is because you step out of that and you're no longer that person. And when you're no longer that person, you no longer have that addiction. When I gave up cigarettes, when I gave up drinking, I was a different person. The person that I was and the person that I am, well, let's say the person I am now, I do not crave cigarettes. I do not crave alcohol. Because I became a different person. You have to become a different person. Weeks ago we did a one, remember? I am changing, I am changing, I am changing now. And the reason why you can give up something like that is when you make up your mind that you're going to change, your subconscious mind hears that and it goes to work on that. But until you have that conviction, that's why most people do not stay on diets, and most people can't give up cigarettes and all, because they do not change. You know, we often say about alcoholics, well, they gave up alcohol, but they did not give up their alcoholic personality. You see, you must give up. You must surrender. You become a different person. That is the whole idea of being reborn. And you can be reborn every day, every minute of every day if you want. But you have to know that that's possible. You don't drag these things. An addiction is like wearing a coat. When you're finished with it and it's all worn out and so forth, throw it away. Remove it. Let it drop from you. But people know they hold on to their addictions. They wrap themselves up in their addictions. Just unwrap. Get rid of it. Very easy. Very easy. But you're not taught that. You're not taught that. Too many businesses would fail, especially the tobacco industry. You see, and we're taught that that addiction is so difficult to give up. We're also taught that the tobacco company has put something in there to make it even more addictive. And we believe all that stuff. Instead of saying, look, I am my own authority in this life, and I'm going to use that authority, and I'm going to do what I want to do with my life. Easy. All right, let's close our eyes a moment. All right, let's just pretend that we're walking down a wonderful lane. It's a country lane. And it's an absolutely beautiful day. It's one of those absolutely perfect days. The sun is shining down and it's ever so warm. Just that right temperature, and you love that feel on your skin. You love that sun coming down and penetrating through you. And you start to feel so at peace. And you're just walking along. You have a little bit of a spring in your step. And you're feeling good. You're absolutely feeling good. As you walk along this path, you come to a garden. And in that garden, you see all these beautiful, beautiful flowers. And you go into the garden, and you look around. And you see there not only beautiful flowers, you see weeds. And you look at those weeds, and you say, those weeds do not belong here. And as you look closer at the weeds, you see that each one is labeled. Not with a botanical number or name. But these weeds say envy, jealousy, hate, slight, grudge. And you start to look at them and you start to think, my goodness, these weeds represent all the negatives that are in my life. All the negatives that are in my mind. And you also look at the beautiful flowers and you see that they're marked peace and love and calm and joy, serenity, poise, intelligence. And you say to yourself, my goodness, I'm going to weed this garden. I'm going to weed the garden of my mind. And you start to pluck up all those weeds. And you pluck them and pluck them. And all of a sudden you have a large stack of them. A big heap of weeds. And you say to yourself, I can't leave these weeds just here like this. You know how weeds are, they grow right back. So you take all these weeds to the corner of your garden and there you light them on fire and you step back and you watch them burning and burning and you watch that smoke rise up into the air and disappear. And now as you look down, you see nothing there but ash. All those weeds are gone, burned. And you look back at your garden and you see now just the beautiful flowers everywhere. Just the beautiful flowers. And you say to yourself, I'm going to come here every day. And I'm going to weed my garden. I'm going to weed my mental garden. Any weed that starts to sprout before it can take hold and suffocate my wonderful flowers, I am going to uproot it. And I'm going to burn it and turn it into ash. Where it can no longer harm my garden or harm me. And that makes you feel good. And with that, you leave your garden and continue down that path, feeling ever so good about yourself and realizing that you are the gardener of your own mind. You are the one that is planting the right flowers. And you are the one that is weeding. Take a moment and come back when you're ready. Here again, this is how easy, this is how simple it is. And yet we make our mind and our life so complicated. And we are taught that all this horrible stuff is going on. And there's nothing horrible going on in there. But you cannot control. We get in a habit of allowing our minds to run our life. Instead of taking control of that mind and making it do what we want it to do. You know, it's oftentimes compared to a genie in a bottle. You must let that out. That genie. Your mind has the power to do so many things. But it has to be released in order to do that. I found this. I thought it was wonderful. To proceed through life without exercising control over such a high speed and powerful energy source as the human mind, it's like speeding down a busy freeway with your arms folded. You see? And that's what most people go on automatic. They have their arms folded. They just go down life instead of using this, telling your mind what you want. Don't you ever say to yourself, I say all day long, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. You see? Here is what I want. Do you say that to yourself during the day? Here's what I want. I don't want that. Here's what I want. Now do my bidding. Do my bidding. It works. It works. And we can prove that up one side and down the other. But think of it. Think of your mind as something that you can control. Where we got off course and decided that we cannot do anything with our mind is absolutely beyond me. We think we can think, of course, and we have an intellect, and we can read books, and we can do this, that, and the other thing. But we cannot control our emotions. You see? And you have to know that you can control your emotions. We have to be able to grow past the 3-year-old. Most people never mature emotionally past 5. It's true. That's why you get carried away with yourself. That's why you get hurt all the time. That's why all these things happen, because you haven't grown since 5. Why is that? Most people do not grow past 5, because you make decisions by the age of 5. What you're doing, what's happening, and what the world looks like, and it's stamped and dated, and it stays in there. And then when something comes up, that comes back up again. Oh, well, this happened this way, and you just repeat it, and you get the same emotion back again. So when you have a tantrum, when you're doing something, say to yourself, "Oh my goodness, I'm 5 years old. I don't want that. Here's what I want," and change it. But most people think that that's who they are. You see? And you're told that, well, you always act that way. You see? What's this, I always act that way? You know. What's the biggest thing that we know about this thing called God? All things are possible with God. Meaning, you don't have to act the same way all the time. You can grow. And we do that by becoming aware, by noticing that, not scolding ourselves, getting all upset, not accepting, saying, oh, look what I did, and this is not what I want. You see? And then change that feeling, change that thought about yourself. This is why the world is in the trouble it is. This is why leaders and so forth. Why do you think Khrushchev took off his shoe and pounded it on the table? Now, is that a grown-up thing to do? He was 5 years old. He was 5 years old. That's what a child does. Look at these executives and so forth, the crazy things that they do, and you have to, oh my goodness, they're 5 years old. Yes. Think about it. Most of us have not grown past that. See, we're grown ups. We think we're grown ups in our because our body grew. But our emotions never grew with our bodies. So then we run around getting hurt all the time. You see. And no one else can hurt you. Always your thoughts are doing that. Your thoughts are the ones that are hurting you. That's what hurts you. So, it's a mental world. Use your mind. Use your imagination. Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Let's do the matter game.
Yeah.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So let me do a few cards here. Fear is not only one of the strongest influences on the mind. It breeds many other emotions in its wake. Fear. And the world teaches fear. And you are not fear. You are love. So when you have a fearful thought, when you feel that fear is coming, set yourself down and remind yourself that this is impossible, that you are love. That you are love. And just keep repeating, no, I'm love. I'm not fear. I'm love. I'm not fear. I'm love. And you change that. You can change that. But the world is always going to teach fear. Your physical being is a direct and living expression of your subconscious being. Your physical being is a direct and living expression of your subconscious being. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? How are you seeing yourself in your mind's eye? See? And we know this one is the one when people lose weight. They still look in the mirror and see themselves as heavy. It has to do with your mind. Your subconscious mind. He changed his subconscious mind. Therefore, he was able to stop smoking. See, everything in life should be easy and effortless. And we make it difficult. As far as the mind is concerned, a belief is far stronger than a fact. And what do we mean when we say a belief? You can have any belief you want. A belief does not have to be true, by the way. All you have to do is believe it. You see, and people think, oh, it's a belief, it's true. It doesn't have to be true at all. It's nothing to do with being true. But any belief you hold will manifest for you. Any belief that you hold. Oh, I have a cute one. Oh, I forgot this one. Remember my eye? No scar. No nothing. So I talked to my friend Fran. Now Fran and I stopped smoking together. I've known her, I don't know, 40 years. So she asked how my eye went. So on the phone, I said, oh, it just went fine and all. And I said, you know, my body doesn't scar. And she said, well, you know, my body scars, Del. She said, I have very thin skin. And I'm Irish. And we scar. Now, you know what? I never corrected or never said anything. Because my belief is, I have very thin skin, and I'm Irish, and I do not scar. Exactly. That's how I get off it. That's how I made this work. Can you see? She held the exact opposite belief than I and her body scars. And I never bothered to say, well, I have thin skin and I'm Irish also. See the difference? That's a belief. That it doesn't have to be true. It's what you hold as a belief. I thought that was fun. As far as the mind is concerned, oh, a belief is stronger. We did that one. Any idea you hold to be true is binding upon you. Now, what do we mean by that? Any idea you hold to be true is binding on you. Binding means it holds you in place. It becomes your prison. You see, you have to be very careful with your thinking. Always allow your thinking to be flexible. Flexible. You know, Ernest Holmes said that this teaching is always open at the top. And then everyone that gets into religious science wants to put a top on it. Because they say, well, Ernest didn't think that. This is as far as the book went. Most ministers do that, by the way. It's open at the top, meaning this grows. The same way your mind grows, it stretches, it does something. You have to keep it open at the top. If you don't, then it's binding. And once something is binding, there goes your freedom. So any idea you hold to be true is binding upon you. And this is why we go to war, because of ideas and so forth. They become binding. Don't let that do that. Remember my old thing? Don't have a point of view. Have many points to view. Have many points to view. They're just look at everything. Just look at everything. Life is not for thinking. Life is for living. If you are willing to play the game of life fully, not working at it, not efforting, then you will reap fantastic rewards. What is that? It's the old idea of surrender. Surrender. Know that this thing called God is taking care of you. Know that you are moving forward. Know that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That you're always moving from glory to greater glory. Know that. And it will work for you. But enjoy your life. All this working and stress and struggle and strain and so forth. No. Enjoy. People waste so much time and energy thinking about their problems instead of dealing with their situations. See, we love to talk about all our problems. See, don't talk about your problems. They won't go away talking about them, doing something about them. You know, as soon as you have a problem, what do you have to know? There's a solution. Why is that? Here we go again. There's always two poles on this polarity. On this plane of action, you're always going to have two poles. You see? So if you have a problem, you have to know right away you have a solution. And then you don't talk about the problem, you look for the solution to that problem. You see? I think it's the Orientals. I love that word. I know it's not politically correct. But say, if you have a problem in one pocket, you have a solution in the other pocket. How you feel literally translates into what have you chemically done to your body. How you feel literally translates into what have you chemically done to your body. What does that mean? If you think happy thoughts, if you think uplifting thoughts, if you think life-affirming thoughts, different chemicals are fired off in your brain, which go through your body. You have caused that. if you're sad, if you're depressed, other chemicals are fired off. All we are is a chemical factory. That's all we are. And we cause those chemicals, the ones that we want and the ones we don't want, with our thinking. So how do you want your body to feel? How do you want to feel? Feeling follows thought. It always has and it always will. See? Remember, we did this experiment before. If you immediately sit up straight and throw your shoulders back, you release.
I did.
Hormones in your body which make you feel better. Of depressed people, cave in. They become depressed. If you're not feeling well, anytime you're not, you think you're coming down with something, you think this is going on or that's going on, sit yourself down and put your shoulders back. A little thing is to tap here. This releases a great deal. This tapping. Yes, you can do this. Remember years ago when people were grieving? They'd hit their chest. I'd love to hit my chest, by the way. I can feel the stuff just go. Hit your chest good and hard. Can't you feel something immediately going?
Yeah, Bruce. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I do. No,
yeah, no, you feel that immediately. Yes. Yes, this is the thymus gland in here. And it releases stuff. Anyway.
Right in between the breastbone?
Yes. Okay. And they did that for years. You've seen people used to grieve that way, and that made them feel better. Pound their chest. And also, warriors used to go into battle. They pounded their chest to get their courage, going. You see, that releases stuff. Anyway, tapping the body, don't you? I do that, you know, every day I tap my body. You know, so I'll have to show you something. We'll do that next time. And you'll feel the difference. Ours is a culture founded on scarcity. It is a culture that centers on being afraid. Fear appearing everywhere around us. And why is that so important, that fear everywhere around us? How do you know in our culture, in what we call race mind, that is everywhere around us? Because when you leave a house, people say, be careful. If you go anywhere, they say, be careful. If there's only God, only love, then what is there to be afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. So there is nothing to do. There's only something to know. Know that ye are God, and it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.